When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. If you've been looking for love at first sight, it's closer than you think. It can be found at your local shelter. So this June 7th to June 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more and see full terms and conditions.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. And you put us together and thrown a couple microphones, a little jar of potpourri, and you've got Stuff You Should Know.
If you get my chocolate and your peanut butter, then we make a delicious extra large Reese's cup.
Extra large with a lot of body hair.
Yeah, you can pick that out, though.
Yeah.
You can eat around it.
Yeah. You want to pick it up before you eat, though, because getting it off the
gross.
Tongue is just...
Yeah.
Chest hair. Chuck.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the Dead Sea?
I am, and I really, really want to go get in it one day.
Okay, I would like to, too.
Yeah.
Especially because I am particularly interested in what I've come to term geographical ironies. And there is no greater geographical irony than the Dead Sea. Because it's called the Dead Sea, but it's dying.
Yeah.
That's pretty ironic.
It is, and sad.
Well, yeah. I mean, that may not have come across in my flip tone, but I think it's sad.
Yeah, and it's not called the Dead Sea because of its properties. I mean, I'm sorry. It is called the Dead Sea because of its properties. It's not called the Dead Sea because it's dying.
No, but...
Which makes it ironic.
After thousands and thousands and eons of years, people have been going to this awesome little spot forever. It's in real danger.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, thanks to humans, and we'll get to that. But the Dead Sea is an example of a vanishing tourist attraction. There's a lot of places that are have been listed and identified as... This place isn't going to be around in 50 years. So,
yeah.
Like, if you're interested, you better go now.
Agreed.
The Dead Sea is definitely one of them. They think that by 2050, it's possible it won't be there. Whatever it is there is not going to be anything worth visiting unless you want to go cry.
I think there is, and fill it with your salty tears. Maybe that's what we should do.
Yeah.
I don't even have the stat in front of me, but I believe I read today that it's falling by about a meter per year.
Yes, that is correct.
Is that right?
Yeah, which is scary because, as everyone who doesn't live in the U.S. knows, a meter is almost 3 feet. It's over 3 feet.
It's a certain amount of feet.
It's more than a yard.
All right, let's talk about the Dead Sea as a whole.
Well, yeah, there's a reason why you should care about this. This is a really interesting, unique place. It has some really awesome qualities to it. So herein, we're going to describe why you should be sad that the Dead Sea is dying.
That's right. It is, first of all, here's some unique properties of the Dead Sea. It is 1,300 feet, 396 meters below sea level, and its shores that surround it are literally the lowest points on planet Earth.
The lowest dry point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sure. It's not like the bottom of the ocean.
But you're basically bathing in a lake
1,300
feet below the ocean.
And it is a lake. It's a terminal lake.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sea.
Yeah.
Terminal meaning that
it's dying.
Water flows in and it doesn't flow out. The only
okay.
way that water leaves it is by evaporation, which is super interesting.
Well, that's what gives it its amazing properties.
Yes. Go ahead and break the news.
Can I?
For people that don't know this.
Thank you very much. So you have water flowing in. Its main tributary is the Jordan River.
Yeah.
Or for bibliophiles, bibliophiles, the River Jordan.
Yes.
Not the Jordan River.
Yeah, sure.
They like to flip that. And like you said, it comes in, but it doesn't go out, but it evaporates. Well, the Jordan River doesn't just bring fresh water in to the Dead Sea. It brings a lot of salty, brackish water as well.
Yeah, big time.
Okay. So because this is in one of the hottest places on Earth, the water evaporates pretty quickly, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, it would be overflowing, which would be kind of awesome.
Exactly. But because of this evaporation, the salt crystals are left behind, mineral salts.
Yeah.
And so water that comes in, whether fresh or otherwise, it just increases in more and more and more concentration, which is why the Dead Sea is one of the saltiest places on Earth.
Yeah, and have you seen the photos of the huge accumulations of these minerals?
Mm-hmm.
I guess just various salt minerals.
Yeah.
They look like sculptures almost in places.
Yeah. It's pretty, well, it looks like crystal outcroppings.
Yeah.
In
exactly
a lot of ways.
It's about 250 square miles.
Yeah.
It is surrounded by the West Bank,
yeah.
Israel, and Jordan,
yeah.
Which also makes it, you know, they're trying to get these neighbors to agree on how to best manage this place, and it's hard to get that area to agree on a lot.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons I think that there are issues. It's hard to get these folks to the table sometime.
Agreed.
All right.
Well put.
Thank you.
So you've got water coming in. You have water staying terminally. Did you know also Atlanta's original name was Terminus?
I did.
Which makes the Dead Sea a terminal lake,
mm-hmm.
like you said. And the salt that's coming in is not like table salt or anything.
No.
It's actually well known for 35 mineral salts that the sea boasts, like calcium, bromine, potassium, magnesium, iodine. But the thing that makes the Dead Sea so significant salt wise is that the concentrations of this, because of the unique setup of the water flowing in and evaporating,
mm-hmm.
it's so saline-y, Celine Dion-ish, that compared to an ocean, it dwarfs the salinity of any ocean.
Yeah, I think the saltiest ocean, is somewhere between 3 to 6%. Salty,
yeah.
And 28 to 35%. I generally see about 33% in the Dead Sea.
So,
which is
6% for the saltiest ocean, like the kind of ocean where you're like,
yeah, on the highest level,
yeah,
6% on the high end,
and like five, six times that for the Dead Sea.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, as a result of this, though, people are like, well, this is just great. This is healthful.
Yeah, what does this mean? It means a bunch of things.
Oh, first of all, it means, proven through physics and just general observation, you float like with no trouble whatsoever because of the incredible density of the seawater in the
yeah.
Dead Sea.
Yeah, and another fun thing you can do is go to Google Images and Google Dead Sea float, and you will see lots of pictures of people laying virtually on top of the water reading books and newspapers, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's like, it looks like an illusion almost.
It does.
Yeah.
It looks like it's been photoshopped, doesn't
That's
it?
Right.
So you've got the fact that you can float,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of people who claim like healthful benefits of the Dead Sea. And I was looking this up, like there's entire companies, what is the name of it? The Dead Sea Research Center, Dead Sea Works. There's a lot of like cosmetics, skincare products, all this stuff that mm-hmm. are associated with the Dead Sea and that use Dead Sea minerals and all that. And they all boast all sorts of what appear to be snake oil properties.
Emily used to sell Dead Sea mud masks.
So,
but she doesn't anymore.
How come?
I think the cost of getting the Dead Sea mud was cost prohibitive for her.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't a big seller. It was an economic decision.
But it wasn't because it was like fraudulent.
No.
Okay. So I,
is it?
Well, I was looking.
Okay.
And I couldn't find a lot, but I did find some stuff where there have been studies on like, Utah salt lakes.
Yeah, sure.
The effects of that. And there's been some studies on the Dead Sea, and they've found, that it does have effects, demonstrable effects, on things like arthritis, rheumatoid
yeah.
arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
It reduces the symptoms of that.
Fibromyalgia?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Eczema?
Yeah.
It's been shown to reduce that. Basically just generally improving the health of your skin.
Yeah, any kind of skin like psoriasis or anything going on with your skin, it should help.
Right, and these were studies that were carried out by like they're published in peer-reviewed journals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're legitimate studies.
Well, it's got 35 minerals. It's got to be good for you.
Right, and in very, very high concentrations, too.
Sure.
So it's not just the minerals in the Dead Sea itself. Like, the mud is, well, like you were saying, Emily sold a mud pack.
Yeah, mud mask.
Yeah. Like, that's, you can just walk up on the shore in some places and scoop up the mud, and then, bam, there's your mud mask.
Yeah.
It's
get
that rich in nutrients.
Yeah.
So it's not much of a surprise that people have kind of flocked to this as a natural spa for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, and I think even before, I mean, they did it back in biblical days. Even before we had all these studies, I think they realized some of the properties.
Right.
And apparently the sun there is filtered, the UV rays are filtered because of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Is that right?
The atmospheric pressure, because it's so far below sea level, it filters a lot of the UV rays out. So laying out is, I guess, better for you.
Laying out. I remember that.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Go lay out.
Yeah, exactly.
Work on the tan.
I still lay out.
Do you lay out?
Oh, yeah.
I believe it. Which is basically just like napping or reading in the sun.
Exactly. That's
sure.
What it amounts to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have, like, little goggles or anything like
baby
that.
Baby oil.
Yeah, or a sock.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
So what they suggest, if you go to the Dead Sea and you want to revitalize yourself a bit, take a swim or a float. Get in there. Get in the water, like, itself.
Right.
And just spend some time in there. Apply some of the mud, maybe, that you can scoop up, or they're probably selling stuff.
Sure.
Thermo-mineral baths, they say, exist there as well.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That place is amazing.
It is. And then they, of course, also suggest optional psychological counseling and follow-up consultation with a medical professional. So,
right. That's like a seven-step special, right?
Yeah, it's like good for the mind and body.
Right.
That's what they say.
But, yeah, you can apparently travel to the area, and there are plenty of places where you just show up and you're like, I have rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, well, come with us, and we're going to take you to the Dead Sea and put you through this procedure.
Sulfur baths, salt baths.
Yeah. I think it's a lot like going to Battle Creek in the 19th century.
Oh, yeah?
You know, and hanging out with Dr. Kellogg.
Oh, yeah, that Battle Creek.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because that means we'd have a time machine.
Exactly. Well, we do.
Another property of the Dead Sea and what this mineral and salt content does that we haven't mentioned is it kills everything, which is why it's called the Dead Sea.
It kills almost everything.
Almost everything.
But, yes, you're right. Like, there's no seaweed in there.
No.
There's no fish in there.
No.
There's no scum on the top of it.
No.
There's no nothing. Like, when you walk in the Dead Sea, like, you are one of the only other living beings in there.
Yeah, what does it support? Like tiny amoeba or something?
Bacteria. Halophilic
bacteria,
which means salt loving. And they're considered extremophiles because the environment they live in is so inhospitable to any other life, that the fact that there's this type of bacteria that can live in there is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But they're like akin to the same types of life that live near like sulfuric 300 degree undersea vents. That's an extremophile.
Or we should do an extremophile podcast.
We totally should. And we will.
I think we should. I have some other little factoids I drew up. Not myself, but I found. When we said thousands of years, what we really meant was millions of years.
I said eons.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. It's been around for about 3 million years. In the Bible, they actually say that the Dead Sea will one day come alive and be full of marine life.
That would be surprising.
I'm not so sure if that's going to happen, considering the saline content. Unless what they meant was
people.
One day it's going to dry out completely and they will open a marine park there or something.
Maybe.
Because that's about the only way it's going to happen. It's really bitter. It's not going to taste salty like table salt.
Yeah.
And it's kind of stinky. They used to call it the Stinky Sea hundreds of years ago, apparently.
Did they really?
That's what it says.
Huh.
And the Greeks called it Lake Asphaltites.
Huh.
Because asphalt will rise to the surface at times. The natural asphalt.
Gotcha.
Not roads that were built underneath 3 million years ago. And Cleopatra was a big fan.
Cleopatra and King Herod built the town of Masada as like a little Dead Sea playground for himself.
Yeah, like a little resort.
Yeah.
And so nothing's living there except people. And it is dying itself, though. And this is when we come to, I guess, the sad portion.
Well, not yet. You mentioned the Bible.
Yeah.
It definitely has ties to the Bible. Obviously, it's in a pretty biblical region. But it's also, well, the River Jordan is supposedly where John the Baptist baptized Jesus.
Yeah.
It's also where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found.
Oh, yeah. I did, of course.
So, from 1957 to 1958, this amazing goat herder found a bunch of Hebrew manuscripts.
The same guy who invented cheese?
No, this is a different one. That was France.
What if it was the same dude? Wouldn't that be great?
Timmy Roquefort that invented cheese.
That's right.
This guy is a different one, although I wonder if he's related to the Roqueforts of France. Anyway, he found a bunch of scrolls, of Hebraic scrolls that were written from the 3rd century BC to the 2nd century AD. And they basically were just like, hey, here's what's going on in this area right now. We'll just write it down and hide them for posterity. And apparently it's like one of the greatest archaeological finds ever, as far as people are concerned, because it gave a real peek into this time when Christianity was starting up. And
sure. And I've read recently there's a lot of controversy over who they think wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where they've landed on that, but of course there's controversy. Well, anything that old.
Yeah.
It's not going to have a little author's signature on it.
Right. So, Chuck, now we get to the depressing part.
I know. I was almost excited, but then I remembered what we were talking about. The Dead Sea is actually dying, meaning the River Jordan is being diverted along the way because they need water in that area to support people and agriculture.
Yeah.
So it's being diverted via dams and things like that to the extent that the Dead Sea is evaporating more than it's filling up these days.
Well, consider this. In the 50s, the Dead Sea used to get like 1.3 billion cubic meters of fresh water a day.
Wow.
Now it's 50 million.
Yeah, that's a sharp drop.
50 million compared to 1.3 billion.
Yeah.
That's a lot of a drop-off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's starting to dry up really, really fast.
Yeah, and luckily, well, we'll see what happens. But luckily, there are people and organizations that are on this big time because of the, you know, not only the cultural significance, but the Dead Sea, despite it being dead in the water, supports like a really vast ecosystem around it.
Yeah.
And if the Dead Sea went away, that would not be good for this ecosystem.
Yeah, but again, it's a tough one. I mean, like people need their drinking water.
Yeah.
Like we've done a podcast on how long can you survive without food and water? And you can go a long time without food, but water gets you in a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know? So that's a tough one. And a lot of people have said, hey, you know what? Let's just build a canal.
Yeah.
The Red Sea's over there. The Dead Sea's right here. All we need is like 135 miles of canal, and we'll just flood the Dead Sea with Red Sea. And people went, no, no, hold on, let's come up with something else.
Yeah.
Because the Dead Sea's salt content and mineral content would be disrupted at that point, and it just wouldn't be what it is.
Yeah.
So it almost sounds like they're like, we'll just let it die.
Well, like we'd rather it die than become less salty?
Yeah, just another inland sea.
Like, look at all those people out there floating, reading their newspaper.
And all of a sudden they drop the moment that canal starts.
What are we going to do then?
Yeah.
So it is a canal slash pipeline. The project's called the Two Seas Canal. And it is fairly controversial on several fronts. One is that it's going to cost about $5 billion, which is not cheap. It would include a desalination plant to generate fresh water. And the good news, it would be, you know, it would be a symbol of cooperation between these often warring countries that surround it.
That would be awesome.
So that would be good. But a lot of environmentalists are saying that, you know, it's a threatened lake. In 2006, it was the threatened lake of the year. I didn't know they had such a designation, but I guess it's good they do.
Well, the Global Nature Fund did. They
called it that.
Yeah, and their one of their project directors said, we call it the threatened lake of the year in 2006, and we could easily do it again for 2010. Like, don't even make us.
Right.
Don't try to call my bluff.
I guess they didn't know because it's 2012.
Yeah.
But they are proposing some alternatives. They're saying that the spokesperson for, what is it, Friends of the Middle East?
Yeah. Friends of the Earth in the Middle East.
Friends of the Earth in the Middle East. The Israeli branch is saying, you know what, we can actually return a lot of water to the River Jordan through conservation and less agricultural use. So,
well, that's the case everywhere. I mean, remember we've talked about this before. Like, like 93% of agricultural water use is it goes to evaporation or runoff.
Yeah,
like just it's so inefficient. Agricultural water use is so inefficient. And then like even like here in our dear town of Atlanta,
yeah,
like we have the leakiest sewer system in the developed world. And we lose tons of water every day to it. And it's just like, well, it's lost, you know?
Yeah. So a lot of environmentalists are saying some huge engineering solution is not always the best solution. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I'd love to see the Dead Sea saved, but also want the people of the Middle East to grow crops.
Well, yeah.
You know?
And live.
Agreed.
So I guess right now, as it stands, no one's quite figured out what to do.
Yeah, I think this year, actually, they have sunk quite a few million dollars into a pretty vast study on this canal pipeline project and seeing if it's the best alternative.
Well, cool.
So I guess we'll find out maybe later this year what they're going to do.
Well, I would say get you to the Dead Sea ASAP because if nobody does anything, 2050, cutoff date.
Yeah, and it's just going to get sadder and sadder if there's like, if it's like the size of a swimming pool eventually and there's like two dudes floating in it.
Yeah, that would be sad.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it for the Dead Sea, right? We got to explain everything.
That's it for the Dead Sea, potentially.
Well, that's it for us in the Dead Sea.
Oh, sure.
If you want to learn more about the Dead Sea, you can type Dead and Sea into the search bar at HowStuffWorks.com. And what does that bring up, man?
We got a few quick things to plug, and then we will get to listener mail.
Okay, like what?
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids, because let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth.
So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, so now listener mail?
Yes.
Okay. Josh, I'm going to call this Antarctic Reply, and it's not about penguins and polar bears.
Thank goodness.
Although she did put that in there, but I erased that part. Shannon actually lived there. For three summers, I was a technician at a terrestrial Arctic base in Alaska.
Awesome.
And several of my coworkers spent in the Northern Hemisphere working on Antarctica. Actually, she was in Alaska. I take that back.
But that's the Arctic.
Yes.
That's north.
That's right.
The Antarctic is south.
That's right.
We know that.
She had friends that worked in Antarctica.
Right.
On Antarctica.
Okay.
Man, it's so picky. People get so picky
with
this stuff. From that experience, I can personally tell you that while life at the poles is basic, it is far from primitive. Antarctica has stores, bars, saunas, and even a pair of ATMs. While many of these amenities are not available to tourists, it doesn't change the fact that Antarctic bases are designed for comfortable, long-term habitation.
Huh.
Also, there is actually a fair amount to do there. Every community has trails for walking, skiing, or snowshoeing. The larger base...
it's like just basically just three kinds of walking.
Yeah, pretty much.
We have three kinds of walking to do here.
In the snow. The large bases have exercise areas. Scientists host lectures, holiday celebrations, and game tournaments.
Cool.
I imagine they probably play what's the little slide game?
Shuffleboard?
No, the shuffleboard on ice.
Hockey?
Yeah.
Curling?
Curling. Thank you. The permanent bases have libraries, and honestly, there's always someone who has an interesting story to tell.
The temporary bases, when they abandon them, they just set the library on fire.
I think so. the most important part of polar life is the food. And this doesn't surprise me. Usually when you're stuck like that, you take your food pretty seriously because that's like the one thing that you can have.
Right. Emperor penguins are delicious.
That's what she says, actually. No. Food is the lifeblood of any Antarctic camp or base, and the staff does their best to make sure that every meal is plentiful and delicious. On the medical front, at least on the American side of things, it's not nearly as basic as you described. In fact, many Antarctic communities have medical support that is comprehensive and available at towns of the same size, that is available at towns of the same size in Canada or Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
The bases have equipment to do emergency surgery if needed, and they have ICUs capable of treating everything from burns to hypothermia. And if you need extra stuff, then it can be airdropped, she said, in the dead of winter even.
Yeah, you just want to look out.
That's right. Look out ahead. Above.
Above.
All right. And that is from Shannon, who has spent time in Alaska and knows a bunch of people there.
That's awesome. Knows a bunch of people in Antarctica.
That's right.
Thanks a lot for that, Shannon. We appreciate it. Let's see. If you know something about something we've talked about that we didn't talk about, or just something you want to supplement, something we've spoken about.
If you floated on the Dead Sea, I'd like to hear that.
That's a good one. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow, or you can send us an email at StuffPodcast@Discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.